Morning. Today's daf in Shabbos Kuf Yud Ches. We are on Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. We are towards the bottom of the Amud. We're going to be beginning this morning with the words Amar Rav Chista. It is as the lines start widening four lines down. We are here in the 16th parak of Shabbos. We have been discussing up until now what happens when a fire breaks out in your house. So if I may, fire breaks out in your house, you call the fire department. That is not mentioned in the Mishnah. Nowadays, we live in concentrated communities. It is a sakanas nefesh for you and for your neighbors if the fire rages on Shabbos. So there is, in our communities, always going to be an issue of sakanas nefashos. And so therefore, you call the fire department. However, in the time of the Mishnah and the Gemara, it is possible for a person to own a property that is totally distinct from other properties. And if nobody's in the house and there is no loss of life and there's no potential loss of life, there's no risk for anybody to suffer any kind of injury or damage. So then you must let the fire burn down. You cannot put out the fire. Putting out the fire would be a malacha on Shabbos. That's the malacha of kibui. And the Chachamim were so concerned that if you were to try to salvage the contents of that house, so you are going to be you're going to be very tempted to put out the fire. So therefore, the Chachamim put a significant cap on what you can take out of the house. The first Mishnah and the first Sugya talked about taking out the Kitzvei Kodesh. So first and foremost, think about the fact that there might be any Sfarim of Tanakh in the house that has to be salvaged. That allowed us for the first 2 days of this Perek on Kuftes Vav and Kuftes Zion to go ahead and go through exactly what the parameters are of Kitzvei HaKodesh. Really wonderful discussion regarding what Kitzvei HaKodesh is. And what is its very definition? The next Mishnah that we encountered talked about taking out food. Again, taking out food on Shabbos. So, and that was yesterday's daf. On Kuf Tezayin Amud Beis. Sorry, Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. So taking out food on Shabbos. So how much can you take out? Only enough for Shabbos. Well, how much food do you need for Shabbos? So you need 3 meals worth for Shabbos. And then there's the Machlokus in the Mishnah, which we saw yesterday, in terms of whether or not you have to calculate whether you had already a meal. Let's say the fire broke out Shabbos morning, and you had already Friday night meal, so then you can only take out 2 meals. Or let's say the fire broke out on Shabbos afternoon, so you already had 2 meals, so you take out 1 meal. So according to the Tanakhama, you have to figure out how much exactly you already ate, and then only take out the balance of the meals. And the Shita of Rav Yossi in the Mishnah is, no, you always take out 3 meals from your house on Shabbos. The cap is a hard cap. You just simply take out 3 meals, regardless of when the fire broke out. The Gemara yesterday had a couple of discussions after the Mishnah, why the Chachamim put a limit on, because Adam Bahul Amamono, as we already explained, the person gets a little crazy over his money, and the more that he's salvaging from his house, the more tempted he's going to be putting out the fire. We already discussed that. What about the fact that he can invite other people in order to save more food? And the question of using a kind of harama, so we discussed that briefly yesterday as well. What if you save food, but there was better quality food in the house? You can go back and get the better quality food. And we spoke very briefly yesterday about Radia Sapas, and that now brings us up to where we are right now in the Gemara. Amar Rav Chista, let's begin. The Gemara starts off, Amar Rav Chista, lo lam yashkim adam la'otza Shabbos. A person should get up early on Friday morning in order to prepare for Shabbos. So a person should not just simply be shocked and surprised that Shabbos is here, But it's on the schedule, it's on the calendar, but rather a person should know and anticipate and prepare in advance for Shabbos. Friday morning already, a person should prepare for Shabbos. The Pasuk says, the Pasuk says that on Friday, this was of course talking about the collection of the mun in the Midbar. This is in Parshas Beshalach. So it says that on the sixth day. And the Gemara's understanding is la'alter, it took place immediately. Meaning on the morning that they woke up, Rashi writes over here, Bishaz havas hachana v'hava b'hashkamahi. The time that they went to collect the man was in the morning. The pasuk says, Vayikutu aso baboker baboker. We know that the man was collected in the morning. And so therefore that serves as a model for us, is that when we're preparing for Shabbos, already on Friday morning we should be out in the stores and getting food for Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Abba, b'Shabbos chaya v'adam l'fso al-shtei kikaros. Rabbi Abba says that on Shabbos a person is obligated to make motzi on 2 loaves of bread. Dichsiv lecha mishnah. So a description in describing the man that comes down. So it was a double portion of man. So therefore on Shabbos for the meals we should be having 2 loaves of bread. Now, certainly Friday night, two loaves of bread. Shabbos morning for the second meal, two loaves of bread. What about for Shal Shudas as well? So it's subject to a debate amongst the Rishonim. I'm Rav Ashi Chazina, the Rav Kahana, Denaka Tarti Ubatze Chada. So Rav Ashi says that I saw Rav Kahana, and his practice was is that he would hold two loaves of bread when making the motzi, and he would break one of the loaves. Amar Liktuksit. The pasuk says that they collected two loaves of bread. But in other words, but in terms of actually breaking the bread, so he only broke one loaf of bread. Rabbi Zera Hava Batza Kulishariusa. Now Rabbi Zera, when he would break loaves of bread, so he would break it Akula Sheyusa. Now what does that mean? Let's take a look at Rashi. Basa Lakula Sheyusa, Prusa Gedola. So he would break off large pieces of bread, says Rashi. Vadailo Bala Oso Seuda Ulachavit Shabbos. Now it would be a piece large enough that would basically cover him for that meal. But he would do so as Kavit Shabbos. Venira Kemechaviv Suda Shabbos. Lizchazik Vlachol Harbei. But by breaking off an exceptionally large piece, so that shows that it's Shabbos and he's doing it l'kavod Shabbos. And the Gemara actually looks to clarify that point. Amalei Ravina, back to the Gemara. Amalei Ravina l'Ravashi v'ham mechzei karapta nusa. Now Ravina and Ravashi say, now wait one second, you're cutting off a large piece of bread, so you look like a glutton, and that's bad midos. So Amalei came and dechol yuma lo avid v'ha'ina hu de'ka'avid l'mechzei karapta nusa. He says, no, look, if that was my practice every day, so then you're right, I look like a glutton, and that would be terrible. But I don't do that every day, I only do that on Shabbos. And so therefore, this is specific for Shabbos because I'm only doing it on Shabbos itself. From the way Rashi presents the Gemara, the progression over here is that when Rav Kahana would break bread, make motzi on the bread, so he would cut one loaf of bread, even though he made motzi, of course, on two because of the mitzvah of Lechem Mishnah. And what Rabbi Zera did is Rabbi Zera took off a large piece in order to show that his love for Shabbos and covered Shabbos as that he would not do this during the weekend, he would only do this on Shabbos. That is Rashi's understanding of the Gemara. There is a Rashba on our Gemara, and the Rashba notes that what Rabbi Zera is doing is different than Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana held two loaves and he broke one. What Rabbi Zera is instructing, according to the Rashba, is that you hold two loaves of bread and you break the two loaves of bread. If you see it in the Gemara, you can actually see the progression in the Gemara. Rav Kahana broke one loaf. Rabbi Zera broke two loaves. Now, the Gemara doesn't say that exactly. Rav Zera says, Akula Shiryusa, but in the context of the Gemara, you understand, Akula means both of them. He would break both of the loaves. And so, therefore, the minug of the Vilna Gaon is that on Shabbos, when he would make motzi on the two loaves of bread, he would cut through both loaves of bread. Right? He held like the Rashba, and the Rashba says that you are accomplishing the halacha of Rav Kahana. You're complying to the halacha of not Rav Kahana. You're complying to the halacha of Rabbi Zera by going through both loaves of bread. And then many quote. I'm not sure if the Gaon says this. The Vilna Gaon was knowledgeable in Zohar. He knew Kabbalah. But I'm not sure if this is quoted in his name, but it's quoted by others. That in doing so, what do you end up with? So you have two loaves of bread for every one of the three meals. So, and you cut both of them, so that means that for every meal you're going to be having four halves of challah. And then you do that three times, you do that another two more times, three times in total, so you're going to have a total of 12 halves of challah. And that's symbolic to the lechem aponim, just like by the lechem aponim that were eaten by the Kohanim. Every Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash, they had 12 loaves. So by going through both challahs, you're going to have now four halves for every meal, multiplied by three, so you're going to have a total of 12, and that is represented of the lechem aponim. Okay, back to the Gemara. Rabbi Ami Rabasi Kimiklalu Riftam De Eruva. So Rabbi Ami and Rabasi, when they had the loaf of bread from the Eruv. Now, Eruv over here could mean Eruv Tchumim. Nowadays, the Eruv Tchumim is held in the shul, and no one's really getting their hands on the Eruv Tchum. So I'm sorry, I didn't mean Eruv Tchum. I meant Eruv Chatzeros. Right, Eruv Tchum nobody's doing these days. Nobody's walking outside of the city limits. So if we're talking about the Eruv Chatzeros, which there is matzah for the Eruv Chatzeros that's set up, but most communities, I'd say pretty much every community, the matzah is being held in shul. No one's getting access to it. But this does work, however, by Erev Tavshilin. What the Gemara is about to teach us, so one can do with their Erev Tavshilin. And that is that when you have the bread that was set aside for the Erev, so Shari Ilavei. So what he would do is that he would also use it to make motzi on Shabbos. So Amri, Holvi, Savid Bechada Mitzvah, Li Savid Be Mitzvah Achrina. So when one person does one mitzvah with it, and now there's an opportunity to do another mitzvah with it, So great. In other words, that shows the chavivas ha-mitzvahs if you are able to go ahead and do another mitzvah on this item. Now, we generally have a rule of ein osim mitzvahs, chavivas. One cannot bundle mitzvahs together. But that just simply means is that as a way of trying to efficiently cover as many mitzvahs as possible, so you kind of bundle everything together, you truncate them all together, and that shows a lack of kavod for every single mitzvah. Over here, that's not the case. Over here, you use this loaf of bread for your Erev. Let's say Erev Tavshilin, right? This year Shavuos was Friday Shabbos. So Erev Tavshilin was needed to be made on Thursday so that you can cook from Friday to Shabbos. Good. So now you have your Erev Tavshilin, which you set aside an egg and either a loaf of bread or a matzah. And so now what you should be doing, according to our Gemara over here, is that on Shabbos, I think the minhag is Shal Shudas, but on Shabbos what you do is that you take that matzah, you take that loaf of bread, and you incorporate it into one of your meals. You already did one mitzvah with it, so now be mosif, add another mitzvah with it, and use it for one of your meals for Shabbos. That's what the Gemara is demanding. Ketzad nafla deleka. We are on the bottom of Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. We're at the two dots. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara now is going to start with a Braisa. And here we go with the discussion of Shalosh Seudas. Seudas Shlishit, the third meal. So far today, for those who have been keeping score, we talked about Lechem Mishnah. We're talking about Shalosh Seudas. Today is going to be a really significant day just in terms of practical halacha, in terms of how to deal with Shabbos in terms of the mitzvah sayom. Tanu Rabbanan, of the Gemara starts off with the following braisa, Anam achlokas, kama se'udas chayav adam lechol b'Shabbos. How many meals is a person obligated to eat on Shabbos? Shalosh. Three meals over the totality of Shabbos. Rabbi Chitka Amar Arba. Rabbi Chitka says four meals. Amar Rabbi Yochanan b'shnei mikra echad darshu. Now, in terms of the sourcing of how they arrive at their numbers three or four, so they're darshaning a pasuk. Which pasuk? So when Moshe gives instructions to Bnei Yisrael in terms of how to eat the man, so when referencing the idea that you're going to be eating it, it says the word hayom. How many times does it say the word hayom? It says it a total of three times. Rabbi Chitcha savar hani klas hayom lebar miorta. Now Rabbi Chitcha says fine. So this signifies three meals. Now Rabbi Chitcha is the one who said that you eat four meals. So how do you arrive at four meals? Because the pasuk over here was only making reference to the meals that you're eating over the daytime. But that is not including the meal that you're already eating on Friday night. So that's one meal on Friday night, three meals during the daytime. That arrives us to a total of four meals. So hayom lebar miorta v'rabbanan savrei behadid deorta. And the chachamim say no. The pasuk is talking about the three meals that you're eating, which includes the meal that you're eating at the night prior. So that means that's three meals in total. What we have in the Gemara over here is a machlokas tanayim. How many meals one is obligated to eat on Shabbos based on how their understanding of the pasuk of the month. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Nafla, Deleka, Balele, Shabbos. So now, our Mishnah would seem to be instructive in terms of how many meals one's going to eat on Shabbos. Because remember, our Mishnah tells us that how much food you're allowed to salvage, three meals, and then you have to figure out where you're holding in Shabbos in terms of how much you're extracting according to the Tanakh. And so, Nafla, Deleka, Balele, Shabbos, we're now on the top of Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. So you take out enough for three meals. Now, my lav de lo achil. Now, presumably, we're talking about a case where you haven't eaten a meal yet. Fire broke out right on the onset of Shabbos. And you haven't eaten a meal yet. And why are you now salvaging three meals? Because you need to have three meals. And if that's the simple pshat in the Mishnah, which it is, so that means to say that is going to be serving as a good support for the Chachamim. And it would, in fact, be difficult for Rabbi Chitka. So the Gemara's response is, lo de'achal. So the Gemara says, no, we're talking about a case where you already had your Friday night meal, and why do I need to salvage three meals? Because for the next day, I need to have an additional three meals. That is a way to understand the Mishnah. If so, we have defended Rav Chitka. Shacharis, Matzil, Mazon, Shei Sudos, and the Gemara's just going to continue doing this now for the next cases of the Mishnah. It's going to be the same attack, same defense. The Mishnah says, if the fire breaks out in the morning, so you save two meals. So my lav de lo achal. Now, aren't we talking about a case where you haven't eaten yet, and therefore you're having two meals, and this would be a support for the shita of the chachamim? You already had your first meal, you need another two meals. So the Gemara says, lo da'achal, we're talking about a case where you already had your morning meal. And why do I need now to save two meals? Because I need to have, according to Rabbi Chitka, another two meals. Bin mincha matzila mazon suda achas. Now, if the fire broke out in the afternoon, so you save one meal. So my lav da'achal, aren't we talking about a case where you didn't eat, and this is, again, a support for the shita of the chachamim? where you already had two meals and you need one more meal, and that's why you're saving one meal. So lo da'achol, the Gemara says no. We're talking about a case where you already had your third meal in the afternoon, and why are you saving one more meal? Because then our brisa, our mission is going like Rabbi Chitka, which is that you are to have four meals. So up until now, we have at least temporarily defended the Shita Rav Chitka in our Mishnah. But the Gemara says, but it's not going to last. V'hamid diktani seifa, because then keep reading on in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi Amar La'olam Mazon Gimel Se'udas. According to Rabbi Yossi, you're always saving three meals, meaning regardless of when it is in Shabbos. Be it Friday night, be it Shabbos morning, be it Shabbos afternoon, you're going to be saving three meals. Michlal de Tanakama Gimel Sfirilei. So the Gemara says, now, by virtue of the fact that Rav Yossi and the Chachamim are arguing, the only thing they're arguing about is that do you have to adjust based on how many meals you have remaining, or do you always take out three meals? But the Kulei Am, according to everyone in our Mishnah, the number is three meals. So the Gemara says, Ala machvarta masisin delo k'Rabbi Chitka. Okay, so our Mishnah is really not within the sheet of Rabbi Chitka. Rabbi Chitka is a Tana, can argue in our Mishnah. And it just happens to be that Rabbi Chitka will not conform to our Mishnah. And so therefore, where are we right now? We are in a machlokes tanaim, the Chachamim, Rabbi Chitka, how many meals one is obligated to eat on Shabbos? According to the Chachamim, three. According to Rabbi Chitka, four. What we certainly also seem to have gained from our Gemara over here is that not only is one obligated to have three meals on Shabbos, but they are also timed, meaning there is a preferred time on Shabbos in which to have these meals. You just saw that in our Gemara as the Gemara analyzed our Mishnah. Meaning the assumption is that the meal number one comes on Friday night, meal number two comes on Shabbos morning, and meal number three comes on Shabbos afternoon. In fact, Tosos here on the top of our Amud, Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, also makes this observation that the meals on Shabbos are going to be in preferred time slots. B'mincha matzilan mazon su'uda achas mikam ashma d'zman achila shlishis b'Shabbos hi mina mincha ulamala. So it is a preferred time to have Suda Shlishis Shal Shuris at the after the time of Mincha. Doloka Osam She Mechakim Suda Shachris Mavarchim Main Tayim. Now Tosus quotes a minhag, an old minhag, where what they would do is that they would have Suda Shachris, they would have a late morning lunch, right, brunch if you will, and the old minhag that Tosus over here is quoting is that they would take a break in the meal. They would bench, they would wash their hands again, and they would basically resume the meal. But with that break, with the benching and the new washing, so now you have meal number two, meal number three. So there are issues in terms of a bracha sheinu tzricha, meaning if you really know and Tosfos makes this point, if you really know that you're going to be, that you're not really stopping your meal, you're just doing so in order to create a halachic reality of meal number two, number three. So the bracha itself is an unnecessary bracha, and that's a bracha sheinu tzricha, and that is in of itself is problematic. But on top of that, Tosfos says it's wrong. In other words, the time slot for the third meal should be in the afternoon, not in the morning. Okay, and implied in that Tosfos, by the way, is that the time slot for the second meal should be in the morning and not in the afternoon. And so certainly the minhag here in America is to have the shachris go late and to get home, and sometimes that morning meal does not start in the morning, and seemingly that's also not appropriate, meaning that the meal should start earlier in the day. The second meal should be shachris, and the third meal should be in the afternoon. And then there's a further discussion, which I'm going to bypass for now, which is that maybe the meals are also connected to the tefillos of Shabbos. First meal is after Maariv, second meal is after Shacharis Musaf, third meal is after Mincha. Okay, but that's another discussion to be had, but we're going to bypass that for now. We're going to continue in the Gemara. V'haditnan, the Gemara quotes a Mishnah, the Mishnah here in Peah. In the Mishnah in Peah, we're going to be quoting a couple of Mishnahs in Peah, and the Mishnah in Peah basically talks about the food pantry that they had back then, right? The soup kitchen that they had back in the day. And we're going to try to see from these Mishnayos and Peah if we can be informed in terms of how many meals they are supposed to be having on Shabbos. And again, it's connecting now to the machlokas that we're in the middle of right now between Rabbi Chitka and the Tanakama in terms of how many meals one is supposed to have on Shabbos. So let's say you're poor, but at least you have meal and you have two meals now. So don't take from the Tamchui. The Tamchui is basically the plate the soup kitchen that a person goes to, under the circumstance where Rachman al-Aslan, he does not even have enough food for today. So if he has two meals worth, so he should not go to the Tamchui. Let others who have no food for today go to the Tamchui. Mazan arba asrei lo yitam min hakupa. Now, if you have food enough for 14 meals, in other words, the assumption being two meals a day, so if you have a week's worth of food, so then don't go to the kupa. Okay, so the kupa was a pantry. So they had a soup kitchen and they had a food pantry. So if you had no meals for today, you go to the soup kitchen. That's the tamchui. If you have a week's worth of food, if you don't have a week's worth of food, so you go to the kupa. So the Gemara says, now these numbers over here are going to be problematic. Mani lo rabbanan v'lo rebbi chidka. Now the numbers are problematic because if you figured it out already, so that means that it's two meals a day, but on Shabbos, there should be three meals, so there's an extra meal on Shabbos, and that our number should be, our number should not be 14, but rather our number should be 15. Furthermore, according to Rebbe Chidka, who has four meals on Shabbos, so the number should be 16 meals for the week. And the Gemara asks exactly this question. So according to the Chacham, the number is 15 meals. According to Rebbe Chidka, it's 16 meals. So La Olam Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, no, the numbers can work. And the Gemara is now going to do just a little bit of accounting. And that is, look, on Shabbos, you have two meals for Shabbos, so don't have Malava Malka, right? Normally, you would be eating your second meal after Shabbos is over. Don't have Malava Malka. Now, Malava Malka is important, and we're going to be seeing over the course of our Masechta the importance of Malava Malka, but priorities. Shalashudas is more important than Malava Malka. It's clear from our Gemara. So therefore, the meal that you were supposed to have for Malava Malka, you're going to back it up into Shabbos. And so therefore, on that Shabbos day, you're going to be able to have two meals. So Lamecha Bafuki Shabbasa Achle B'Shabbasa. So, and so now, you can have the three meals of Shabbos, and you can have two meals a day, and you can have 14 meals for the week, and you can still fulfill the mitzvah of having three meals on Shabbos. It's just a question of making sure that you are eating the meals in the right time. So your Friday, you have two meals on Friday, so the second meal on Friday is eaten Friday night. You have two meals on Shabbos, those two meals on Shabbos should be eaten on Shabbos itself, and you won't have Malava Malka. But it can be done. So Lema Rabban Hivalo Rebbe Chidka. So the Gemara says, okay, now, this Mishnah and Peah, we just worked it out according to the Chachamim. Are we going to have a problem working it out according to Rebbe Chidka? So the Gemara says, Afilo Tema Rebbe Chidka. No, it could be going like Rebbe Chidka. De Amrina Lema Debay Samecha Bamale Shabbasa Achla Leorte. So the Gemara says, because even according to Rabbi Chidka, who has four meals on Shabbos, here's what you can do. You could take your two meals of Friday, and you could push them both into Friday night. Well, one you'll have Friday night, the next one you'll have Shabbos morning, and then you'll have your two meals on Shabbos, and so you'll have a total of four meals altogether on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, okay, but that's really difficult. So that means now that on Friday you're expecting him to fast. So, Ela Hamani Rabbi Akivihi. So the Gemara says, okay, so the Mishnah and Peah, I'll tell you what, says the Gemara. The Mishnah and Peah, I'm not forced to try to fit Rebbe Chidka into that Mishnah and Peah. And the truth of the matter is, I'm not forced even to fit the Chachamim into the Mishnah and Peah, because the Mishnah is going like Rebbe Akiva. Rebbe Akiva is of the opinion that Rachmanis, a person, does not have the means to make Shabbos anything more special. So you live within your means, and that includes Shabbos as well. Don't borrow from people, don't ask from people, meaning that as long as you can subsist with what you have over the course of Shabbos, so according to Rabbi Akiva, that's it. So and you don't borrow to make Shabbos any more special. So the Gemara says that this Mishnah Peah could be going like the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, and so therefore, you're not going to, according to Rabbi Akiva, under these circumstances, under these very difficult circumstances, you're not going to have Shal Shudas. Okay. And according to Rabbi Chidka, you're not going to have meal number three and meal number four. Okay. In other words, You live within your means. V'hadinan, the Gemara quotes another Mishnah here from Peah, and that is Ein pochasan la'ani ha'over mimakom l'makom mikikar bepundayon midalit se'in b'sela. So when bread is at a certain cost, and the Mishnah in Peah over here is giving us the cost of wheat per coin, without going through the math right now, when bread is at a certain rate, so then you give it a pundayon, it's the 40th of a sela, you give it to the ani, and that will be able to afford him two meals. In other words, someone's passing through town, and so there is some stuck in distribution. So this is not a pantry, this is not a soup kitchen, this is just simply a way for a person to get a meal ticket. and you give him a pundayon, and that would be able to buy him two meals. So lan, if he plans on staying the night, nos nala parnasas lina. So you give him, well, the Gemara is going to be clear in just a moment, but you give him enough to be able to sleep the night. Vim Shabbos, nos nala mazon gemasudos. Now when it happens to be Shabbos, so you give him enough so that he could have three meals. So this Mishnah and Peah, again, is assuming that on Shabbos you're having three meals, and it's certainly going to be supportive of the Shita, of the Chachamim. Lema Rabban, and Hivala Rabbi Chitka. Okay, so this Mishnah and Peah is going like the Chachamim, not like Rabbi Chitka. La'olam Rabbi Chitka, kagon di'ika suda bahadei. De amrin alei, hadika bahadei achlei. So the Gemara tries to defend Rabbi Chitka. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about a case where he already has a meal on his own. And now what the Mishnah is telling us is give him another three meals for Shabbos so that he can have four in total. Okay, it's a possible pshat. Difficult, obviously, but it's a possible pshat. V'chiyazo v'reikanazo. So the Gemara says, yeah, but then when he leaves the town after Shabbos, so that means to say that he's leaving empty-handed. Meaning he has one meal, you're giving him three meals. According to Rabbi Chitka, he's eating all those four meals over the course of Shabbos, and now you expect him to leave after Shabbos? So d'malavin aleisu d'abahadeh. The Gemara says, no, in terms of being malavahim, in terms of accompanying him after he leaves, so you give him another meal after that. My parnasas lina, we just quoted the Mishnah in Peah that if he plans on sleeping the night, so you give him parnasas lina. The Gemara says, can we be a little bit more accurate about what that means? Amar papa purya beisaja, you give him a bed, you give him a pillow. You give him basically the means in which he can sleep the night. Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara over here is going to be discussing another halacha, but it is related to the number of meals one's supposed to have on Shabbos. If you had dishes on Friday night after the meal, so you can rinse them in order so that you can have your meal in the morning, meaning you're allowed to wash the dishes on Shabbos, provided that you're going to use the dishes again on Shabbos. If you have your meals, so you can rinse your dishes in the morning because you know you're going to have another meal in the afternoon. Now in the afternoon, if you know you're going to have another meal, so then you can wash the dishes again. But if you know that this is your last meal on Shabbos, so you cannot wash the dishes because the purpose of washing the dishes is for the weekday, and that would be a violation of Hachana. In terms of the cups and the pitchers, so that you can wash at any time on Shabbos. Because in terms of drinking, people always drink. And so therefore, there is no cap, there's no limit. There's no set time in terms of when a person is going to drink. So you can always wash your cups and your pitchers. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapara, Kol HaMekayim Shal Shudas, B'Shabbos Nitzol, Mishalosh Peranios. If a person is careful about maintaining the mitzvah of Shalosh Seudos, he's going to be saved from three calamities. Mechevel Shal Mashiach, Medina Shal Gehenem, U'Melchemes Gog U'Magog. The three calamities are Mashiach, the Chevlo Shal Mashiach, the birth pangs of Mashiach, and the din of Gehenna and the Mecham of Gog U'Magog. And the Gemara is going to see all this via drashas. Mechevel Shal Mashiach, Siv Hacha Yom, V'Siv Hasam, Hinei Anochi Shalech Lachem, Eis Eliyahu Anavi, Lefnei Bo Yom. So you see the connection between the Yoms and between the Yom in which we learned out the mitzvah of the Gimel Seudos, and the Yom mentioned first and foremost over here by the Chevlo Shal Mashiach, Midina Shal Gehenem, Ksiv Hacha Yom, Ksiv Hasam, Yom Evra HaYom Ahu. We have a pasuk also in terms of Gehenna. The Yom Evra is a reference to Gehenna. Mechamas Gog Magog, Ksiv Hacha Yom, Ksiv Hasam, B'Yom Ba Gog. So we have the word Yom used in association with these three calamities. And so the mitzvah of keeping the Gimel Seudos on Shabbos is a way of serving and protecting. Am Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Yosef, Al Ma'ane gets a Shabbos, Nosol Nachla B'Li Mitzarim. Anyone who enjoys Shabbos, the mitzvah's oneg. So if he does so he will receive a nachla without any borders. Shenemar asti saneg al Hashem v'hikrapticha al bamsei aretz v'echlisacha nachlas Yaakov avicha. The pasuk in Yeshayahu, which is the source of oneg Shabbos, as we already mentioned. But briefly, let's go over this again. In Shabbos, there is two mitzvahs d'oraisa, there are two mitzvahs d'rabbanan. This is the way the Rambam lays it out. The mitzvah of shmira and zechira, of being Shomer Shabbos, not doing the malachas, and Zechira Shabbos, mentioning that it's Shabbos, Kiddush Hayom. So those are mitzvahs d'oraisa, those are positive mitzvahs. And then on top of that, there are two mitzvahs midivrei sofrim, two mitzvahs midrabbanan. But midrabbanan, but coming from the Navi, which may just go a little bit higher up on the rung. And that is the mitzvah of oneg and the mitzvah of kavod, enjoying Shabbos and honoring the Shabbos. We already spent some time talking about kavod Shabbos. Now we talked about that in terms of the way a person walks, the way the person dresses, the way the person talks on Shabbos. That's all a function of Kavod HaShabbos. And now we're going to be spending some time today as we're talking about the meals of Shabbos. So this is primarily the way that we're Ma'aneg, that we perform the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. And so the Gemara now talks about first the benefits of Oneg Shabbos. And that is that if you're enjoying the Shabbos, so then you're going to be receiving a nachla b'li mitzarim with no borders. As we now turn to the top of Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis, you're getting the nachla of Yaakov Avinu, and the Gemara goes and outlines Lo ka Avram shekasabo kumis alech baretz la'arka. Now, when it comes to Avram Avinu, so he was given borders of Eretz Yisrael. You're going to go along the perimeter of Eretz Yisrael. V'lo ki Yitzchak shekasabo ki lecha lezercha tenes kol aretzos ha'el. And also by Yitzchak, so Kadosh Baruch Hu showed Yitzchak a definite blueprint of what Eretz Yisrael is. Ela b'Yaakov, ela ki Yaakov shekasabo ferasi yama v'kem avtson afon v'negba. Meanwhile, when it comes to Yaakov, it's suferatza, you're just simply going to go out. You're going to break out. And Yaakov was given, presumably, no borders. And so his nachla is going to be b'li mitzarim, without any borders. And that's the kind of benefit a person will should expect if he is being ma'anik Shabbos, if he's enjoying Shabbos, without any limits. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar Nitzal Mishibu Galios. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak adds that a person is also going to be saved from the burdens of being in the diaspora. So, again, we have a connection, like a Gzeirah Shavah, it's like a Gzeirah Shavah, in which it speaks to this idea that not only you'll be saving from the three parameters which we mentioned earlier, but on top of that also from Shibud Galus. Somebody who properly enjoys Shabbos is going to be given all the requests of his heart. The Pasuk in Tehillim that says that when you're misanig al Hashem. Now, what does that mean exactly? So the Gemara is going to ask that question. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you all of your requests. Oneg ze ein yodea mahu. So I don't know what this oneg is making reference to. Kishu omer v'karas al Shabbos oneg. Havi omer ze oneg Shabbos. So once we have the pasuk in Yeshayahu that tells us that on Shabbos you're calling it an oneg. So therefore now we understand the pasuk in Tehillim. V'isanig al Hashem. That's a reference to the way you're ma'anig in Shabbos. Ba'men ma'ango. Exactly what do you do in order to enjoy Shabbos? So Rav Yehuda Bered, Rav Shmuel, Bar Shilas, Mishmei Derav, Amar, B'tav Shosho Taradion, V'dagim Gedolim, V'rashi Shuman. So the Gemara is very specific in terms of what foods the person should eat. One could suggest that over here, the Amoraim are just simply picking their favorite dishes. Maybe, perhaps, I'm not sure about this next point, but perhaps over here the Amoraim are not being specific in terms of what you and I should eat, but they're just simply choosing what they particularly enjoy. On the other hand, you could say that there's something intrinsic in the foods that they choose. Okay, I'm not sure which is the correct way to say it. But anyway, tashal shoshradnim, beef, dagim gedolim, large fish, v'rashi shuman, and large cloves of garlic. Rav Chiya bar Ashi amar Rav, afilu davar muat. So Rav Chiya bar Rav Ashi, in the name of Rav, says that it could be something small. Ulechav Shabbos, as long as it's for the specific purpose of Shabbos. So, Hareza Oneg. That also would be a kiyum of Oneg. Mahi Amra Papa Kasada Harsana. Now, when he says something small, the Gemara says, could you be a little bit more specific? So the Gemara says, yeah, Kasada Harsana, Kasada Harsana. Gemara mentions all the time, it's some sort of small fish, right? You could say it's herring, not because we know it's herring, but it happens to be that herring is a Shabbos, is associated with Shabbos. So everyone gets excited about herring and Shabbos. Amra Bechia Barava. I like to think herring is making a comeback, but I don't have the data to support it. I'm Rabbi Chia bar Abba. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Kol Meshabes Shabbos Kiyocha. So Afilu Oved Avodah Zarah Kedor Enosh Mochlin Lo. A person who is Shomer Shabbos properly, and even if he's an Oved Avodah Zarah, now that's an unbelievable contrast, right? The person is an idolater, but at the same time, however, he's Shomer Shabbos. He keeps the Shabbos and he keeps the Shabbos to the letter. So the person says he will have a mechila. He will be forgiven. Shenemar Asher Enosh Yaseh Zos Michal Lo. So again, we go back to the pasuk in Yeshayahu. So, al tikre mechalo ela mochalo, and a play on the word of mechalalo, and that is that with the proper Shmir Shabbos, so he will have a mechila, and his mechila will be from everything, even from avodah zarah, even from hardcore avodah zarah. Still, he will have a mechila for being a Shomer Shabbos. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav Elmala Shomer Yisrael Shabbos Rishon Lo Shalto Mehem Uma V'Lashon. If we were successful in the way we were Shomer Shabbos, the first time we were instructed to keep the Shabbos, so then we would not have had any domination by any foreign nation. Shenema, the pasuk says, "Vayi bayam ashvi yasim an am lo kot." So we know that when the man was introduced, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe gave very clear instructions to Bnei Yisrael. You see, Shabbos don't go out because the man's not coming down on Shabbos. There's going to be double portion on Friday. It's not coming out on Shabbos. And what happened? So there was a collection of people who went down on Shabbos in order to collect. So and you see the ramifications that happen afterwards. I mean, you go to the end of Parshas Beshalach and the attack of Amalek. So because we weren't Shomer Shabbos properly, so we were subjugated by other nations. Now, we won that war, right? But that's exactly the point. The point is that the only reason why we were attacked is because of our lack of proper Shmiras Shabbos. I'm Rav Yochai Mishum Rav Yishim Bar Yochai Malay Misham Yisrael Shtei Shabbos Kiyo Chasam Yan Nigalim. This perhaps everybody knows, the songwriters made this Gemara popular. So, and the Gemara quotes it in the name of the Rashbi, that if the Jewish people were to successfully be Mikayim, two consecutive Shabbosos, so they're going to immediately be redeemed. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Ko'amar Hashem l'sarisim asher yishmurus Shabbos asay v'ksiv asrei v'yavuzim el har kachi." Now, this pasuk in Yeshayo, this parak in Yeshayo, we're familiar with. This serves as the Haftarah for the Tanis. And so, but in the psukim here in Yeshayahu, so if the Yerushomer is Shabsosai, as long as you keep my Shabbosim in the plural, or Shabbosos, so under those circumstances, one is going to be, the Jewish people are going to be receiving a Yeshua. Okay, so up until now, if we could just simply organize our Gemara, we have so far discussed Lechem Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Yud Zayin. We then went on to discuss the mitzvah of eating meals on Shabbos Shal Shu'udos, Machlokas Tanaim, whether it's three or four meals. And then we have, since then, been discussing the importance of Oneg Shabbos, how critical it is that a person has to enjoy Shabbos and have food specific for Shabbos. The Gemara for the remainder of today's daf, or at least the part that we're going to get through, is going to be going through the practices of Rav Yossi. I've counted 10 different practices of Rav Yossi. The truth of the matter is the number gets a little bit more than 10, but you'll see in the way that I count, in that Rav Yossi was practicing. The reason why, most of it having nothing to do with our discussion today, but the first one does, and you know how the Gemara works, so as long as the first one is connected to our discussion, the next 9 that we're going to go through is also brought down as well. We are 3 wide lines down on Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis. I'm Rav Yossi. My portion should be with the people who are eating the 3 meals on Shabbos. Meaning Rav Yossi says, look, the people who are careful about having 3 meals on Shabbos are going to be receiving a tremendous reward, and I'd like to be part and parcel of that. That's number 1. Number 2, I'm Rav Yossi, Yehei Chalkim Egomer Halal B'chol Yom. My portion should be with the people who are finishing Halal every single day. Now the Gemara says, wait, at this point in time the Gemara thinks that when we're discussing halal, what we're referring to is the halal that we say on Yontif, the halal we say on Chanukah. No halal on Purim, but anyway, that kind of halal. The Gemara says, wait 1 second. What do you mean? You can't say halal every day. Halal is specific for certain times of the year. So for Yontif, for days in which miracles occur. So halal specific for those days. You don't say halal every single day. In that case, we're not recognizing the nisim and niflaos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us at certain points in time. And so you're just simply saying halal every day. There's nothing special or unique to the halal in which you're saying. And not only that, mecharef megadef, blaspheming HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Strong words for the people who say halal every single day. So the Gemara says, ki kamrina b'psukah d'zemra. The Gemara says, no, I didn't mean halal in that, like that. I meant halal in terms of psukah d'zemra. So we know that before we start with Shema, Birchu Shema, Shemoneh Esrei, so we start off by saying Psukah d'Zimra. We say Parakim and Tehillim as a way of preparing for us. The Chachamim instituted Psukah d'Zimra with a bracha before, Baruch Sha'amar, and a bracha afterwards, Yishtabach, Psukah d'Zimra. So really interesting Rashi over here, Psukah d'Zimra. Shnei Mizmarim Shal Hilulim, Halu Es Hashem and Hashemayim, Halu Kel B'Kadsho. Right, interesting Rashi. Rashi over here highlights a couple of the Parakim of Psukah d'Zimra. Why does he highlight those specific prakim of Psukah d'Zimra? It's a wonderful question. Look forward to hearing an answer in the future. So anyway, he's just talking about Psukah d'Zimra, meaning it's important that Before you start with the brachas of Shema and Shema Shmon Esrei, so the person should be mentally ready. And Pesukah de Zimra is to help us get prepared for the Shema and the Shmon Esrei. And so Reb Yossi is lauding the idea of saying Pesukah de Zimra prior to the Shema Shmon Esrei. We're up to number three. Amar Reb Yossi Yechal Kim Mispalim Im Dimdu Mechama. Right? I want to be receive a portion of the world to come, included with those people who are davening Vasikin. It's a mitzvah to daven im dimdu mechama, together with the sunrise. And by the way, Rashi points out over here. Rashi did the same thing back in Brachos as well. Not only is the sunrise, but also the sunset as well. Take a look at Rashi. Dimdu mechama kishi aduma shacharis acharei hanetsa miyad hi aduma. So as the sun is rising, so the sun gives a red appearance. And va'arvis samach l'shkiasa. Now, as far as Marv is concerned, or Arvis over here means towards the evening, as the sun is setting, so that's the optimum time to be davening Mincha. So Rashi over here actually has this mitzvah of Lisbam Dim Dumechama, both for Shacharis right after Netzachama, and for Mincha right before the sun sets. Amre B'zera Ma'ikra Yeruchayim Shemesh, V'lifnei Yareach Dor Dorim. The Pasuk in Tehillim speaks to this idea that we should have fear of a Kadosh Baruch Hu im Shemesh, as the sun is rising. And the year over here is a reference to davening. And Rav Yossi, this is now number four of Rav Yossi. And that is that my portion should be together with those people who died out of a GI issue. Damar Mar, Ruben Shal Tzadikim, Mesei Becholim Me'ayim. Tzadikim typically die with some sort of GI issue. And why that should be, and why they necessarily have to suffer from that ailment as opposed to others. I don't have a good shot. I'm not going to suggest something right now. Anyway, but Rav Yossi says I want to have my chelik with their portion. I'm Rav Yossi Yehichel Kimi Meisei B'derech Mitzvah. Number five, I want my portion to be with those people who are on the way to be doing a mitzvah. I'm Rav Yossi Yehichel Kimi Machnisei Shabbos B'Tverim Ami Tzei Shabbos B'Tzipori. I want my chelik to be with those people who bring Shabbos in Tveria, and for those people who exit Shabbos in Tzipori. What the Gemara over here is making reference to is that Tveria, they make Shabbos, they take Shabbos in early, and in Tzipori they leave Shabbos is a little bit later. Now this could be a topographical issue. In fact, that's the way Rashi says it. Rashi says it's a topographical issue in that Tveria is very low, Tzipori is in a higher plane. A higher elevation, and so therefore let's start with Tveria. So in Tveria, so they would have to bring Shabbos in earlier. On the other hand, in Tzipori, because they were in a higher elevation, so that means that they saw the sun longer, and the sun took longer to both descend and night to fall, so therefore they had to keep Shabbos later. The basic idea is that you should be adding to Shabbos both on the front end and on the back end. That was number six. Number seven. Amar Rav Yossi Yechalkim Moshe Beis Hamedrash Lo Me'amidei Beis Hamedrash. My chelik should be with those people in the Beis Medrash, and specifically over here from the Moshiva Beis Medrash, meaning you're having people sit in their seats. Meaning you got there first. You got there first, and you're basically the one telling everybody where to sit down. In Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, so there's a super large yeshiva called the Mir. And seating over there becomes a real challenge. Thousands of young men are learning over there, so they have a seat dying. They have somebody in charge of making sure that people have a seat. If there's any kind of debate about whose seat it is, so he's the one who adjudicates. Anyway, so the Moshiva Beis Medrash, but the Ma'amida Beis Medrash, the people who are excusing everybody, in other words, telling everybody that it's time to eat and telling people to leave the Beis Medrash. So Rav Yossi said, they're both important. But Rav Yossi says, I'd rather be the one who is seating the people as they're coming into the Beis Medrash. Number eight, Amar Rav Yossi Yechalkim Megabei Tzedakah Velo Mimechalkei Tzedakah. Again, we have two important jobs over here. Rav Yossi says, I'd rather be the one collecting the tzedakah rather than the one having to make the decision of how to distribute the tzedakah. Now, again, they're both significant. They're both important, obviously. But the one collecting the tzedakah, you know that everything you're doing is good because you're just doing the ask. But now when it comes to actually sitting down there making a budget and determining how that money is going to be allocated, so those are decisions. Decisions have to be made, and not every decision is going to be a perfect decision. And so Rav Yossi says, I'd rather be on the ask side than on the allocation side. We are up to number 9. Amar Rav Yossi, Yehi Chalkim Yimi Shechoshtin Oso Ve'ein Bo. I should have a portion of the people who were suspected, but wrongly suspected. Amar Rav Papa Lididi Chashtan Ve'lo Havavi. Rav Papa says that I actually experienced that, where somebody assumed the worst of me, and it wasn't in fact true. And because of the shame and the embarrassment that I had to suffer, that serves as a kapara. And Rav Yossi says, I want that kind of kapara. I'm Rav Yossi Chamish Be'ilos Balti V'Natati V'Chamisha Arizim V'Yisrael. Now, we are continuing in the Gemara. Now, this is where the count gets a little bit off, because this was no longer a Yehei Chalki. But this is still Rav Yossi. So, you want to count this number 10? Okay, now this is where my numbers fall apart. But you get the basic idea, though. We're still going over some of the special practices of Rav Yossi. And Rav Yossi over here is giving us a lot of information, personal information. And that is that he was with his wife 5 times. And as a result of that, he had 5 cedars amongst the Jewish people, meaning he's talking about his sons. Oman Inu, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chalata, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Aptilas, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Menachem, Rabbi Yosef. So, and these all turned out to be tremendous Talmid Chachamim, his 5 sons. And that's on account of the fact that he had relations with his wife 5 times. Va'ika Vardimos. So there are a couple follow-up questions. I know what one of your questions already is going to be. And we're going to get there. But first, the Gemara is going to ask the first follow-up question, and that is that awkwardly there was a 6th son. So when Rabbi Yossi is going over and he's praising his sons, he says, you know, my 5 great sons. And meanwhile, there's a 6th one over there, and how do you think he's feeling at that point in time? So Vaha'ika Vardimas. Now, he also had an unusual name. But if you look at some of the other names of some of his other sons, so his other sons also seem to have not Jewish, not Hebrew names, Aptilas. But anyway, so isn't there Vardimas? So Hainu Vardimas, Hainu Menachem. So the Gemara says, okay. So that we can simply resolve by simply saying that Menachem, who we already noted, also goes by the name Vardimas. So the Gemara says, so there really are 5 boys. So fine. V'amai kari le Vardimas, shepanim doma leverit. And Vardimas is because if you look at his face, his complexion, he had rosy cheeks, and so therefore he was called Vardimas. It was a nickname, so to say. And the Tosfos over here does not ask this question, but in other places, Tosfos says, where do we stand on nicknames? The Gemara is very opposed to nicknames. And meanwhile, we find a number of Gemaras, this being one of them, where nicknames were clearly assigned. Okay. Lememra de Rav Yossi mitzvahs ona lokiyem. Here's the question that everybody was thinking. And now the Gemara is going to ask the question. And that is, there's a mitzvah of ona. What do you mean he was with his wife 5 times? He should be with his wife on a regular basis. That's a mitzvah of ona that a husband has to do for his wife. So why is the Gemara over here only, why is Rav Yossi reporting that he only had, he was only with his wife 5 times? So no, in those 5 occasions, so he repeated the act of being with his wife, and as a result of that, he had the arazim, these Talmid Chachamim that come out. But of course, he fulfilled the mitzvah of Ona. I'm Rav Yossi, me'amai lo karis lishti ishti lushari shari. Now, never did I refer to my wife as my wife, and never did I refer to my oxen as my oxen, alishi beisilu shari sadai. But rather, it's as far as his wife is concerned, basically she's a keres abayis, and so that's what he referred to. Obviously, he meant it as a compliment, and she took it as a compliment. Okay, if it is not complimentary, so then if I can give advice for today, so I wouldn't recommend it. But if he meant it as a compliment and she took it as a compliment, so that's great. So ulasharai sadai, and as far as the oxen is concerned. So that's his field. They call that his field. Now, that's not real property. It's not that's not land. But nevertheless, what good is the land if you have nothing to work the land? So the shor that is working the land, so that is what he referred to as sadai. I'm Rav Yossi, me'amai lo nistakalti me'mila shali. Rav Yossi says, I never looked at my mila, my makom mila. Ini v'ha amru le l'rebi, my tamakar l'cha Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So they say to Rebbe, why is it that he was referred to as Rabbeinu HaKadosh? So Rebbe was referred to as Rebbeinu HaKadosh because he never looked at his Mila. Now what it sounds like from the Gemara is that this was something special and unique to Rebbe. So the Gemara says, Rebbe Milsachrita Havabe. The Gemara says, no, Rebbe had something even above that in terms of his level of Kedusha. And that is, that he never put his hands below his belt. So he never looked in the area, never touched the area. Right? In that regard, Rebbe had even a higher level of Kedusha. Amar Rav Yossi. The walls of my house never saw the inside of my shirt. Meaning I never was unclothed within my house. Ramar Rav Yosef Miamaylo Avarti al Divrei Chaverai Yodea Ani Basmi Sheini Kohen Im Omrim Li Chaverai Ola Leduchan Ani Ola. Rav Yosef says that I was a man amongst my colleagues and I never got into any kind of fight amongst my colleagues. And if they told me to do something, I would do it. And even if they told me something strange, like, hey, you know what, go up and duchen. So I would have done that as well. Now, is that a strange request? Yes. And Rav Yossi's willingness to comply with that request, that also seems to be strange. And Tosos already makes this observation. See the third Tosos in our Amud. Ilayo omen lechavrai alay leduchen. Lo yada Rabbi, the ri ma iser yesh bizar ha'ol leduchen. Im lo mishum brach levatal shekohanim. Amar Torah levarech es Yisrael. So the Ri says, I'm not sure. I don't know what the Isser would be for a non-Kohen to go up in Duchen. Now, obviously, he's making a bracha, so that's a bracha of Atala. But outside of that, just simply to go up and to put your hands out? So the Ri says, I'm not sure what the Isser would be. And obviously, the Ri's making that comment on the heels of our Gemara, because our Gemara seems to indicate that Reb Yossi would have done it if his friends asked him to do so. V'amar Reb Yossi me'amaylo amarti davar v'chazarti l'acharai. And Rav Yossi says, finally, I never said something and I never had to turn around. Right? Unfortunately, we all know that feeling of having spoken and having misspoken and then realizing that you were not only saying Lashon Hara, but that person, the object of your Lashon Hara, is right behind you. Rav Yossi says, I never experienced it. And presumably because man never spoke Lashon Hara. That's the easy way to say the Gemara. Right? You can say another Pshat in the Gemara as well, but that's the easy way to present it. Okay, and with that, we're going to stop. And with that, let's just quickly recap our morning. This morning, we went through the Gemaras, starting on Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, on the bottom of the Amud. We went through the halachas of Lech and Mishnah, to take two loaves of bread for the meals. Certainly the Friday night meal, certainly Shabbos morning meal. The Gemara doesn't mention Lech and Mishnah for Shal Shudas. Debate amongst the Rishonim whether that's necessary. Some say yes, some say no. We talked about when breaking the bread of the Lech and Mishnah. So the position of Rav Kahana was that he held both when making the bracha, but then only broke one of the loaves. Rabbi Zera, not clear exactly what Rabbi Zera did. Rashi gave a pshat. We quoted the Rashba, who said that he broke both loaves of bread. That was a minhag of the Vilna Gaon. And in terms of recycling mitzvahs, if I did a mitzvah with the bread already for, let's say, Eruv Chatzeros or Eruv Tavshilin, to then go ahead and to reuse that same loaf of bread for the mitzvah of Lecha Mishnah, the Gemara says that's a wonderful thing. You should do that. Then we went on to the halachas of Shal Shudas to have three meals on Shabbos. It's based on a drasha. Does that mean that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, a mitzvah d'rabbanan? We didn't discuss that, nor are we going to discuss that in the review as well. However, it seems to be a drasha from the Torah, but it could just simply be an asmachta. The Gemara is not clear about that point. Also, just something else we didn't discuss over the course of this morning, are women obligated in Seudah Shlishis in Shal Shudas? Again, the Gemara does not discuss it. The Rishonim already discussed it, and something also worthwhile endeavor to discuss, but we didn't discuss it, nor are we going to be discussing in the review, but just another basic point to go over. And then we discuss Shal Shudas Machlokas Tanayim between the Tanakam and Rabbi Chidka, whether to have three meals on Shabbos or four meals on Shabbos. We used Mishnayos here in the 16th Perek of Shabbos. We used Mishnayos in the 8th Perek of Peah to try and see whether or not the position of the Chachamim, three meals, or the position of Rabbi Chidka, four meals, is the more defensible position. Came out that the Chachamim's position is more defensible. Obviously, that's the position that is held by Halacha to have three meals on Shabbos. Washing your dishes is acceptable, says the Gemara, provided that you are going to be having another meal on the Shabbos itself. Otherwise, that would be Hachana from Shabbos to a weekday, which would be forbidden. The Gemara on the bottom of Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph talks about Oneg Shabbos, and how important Oneg Shabbos is, and what a person can expect to receive as a result of him being Ma'aneg B'Shabbos. We have Psukim in Yishayahu, speaking about the importance of Oneg Shabbos. It is it's a mitzvah midivrei Nevi'im, as we spoke about also in the course of today's daf. More on the topic of Oneg Shabbos in terms of how it's going to protect you. And the Gemara goes on that discussion. Exactly what is Oneg Shabbos? Having special foods for Shabbos. And we saw various Amoraim in terms of what was their favorite foods that they would have specific for Shabbos. Proper observance of Shabbos and the rewards of proper observance of Shabbos. If we would have properly observed it in the Midbar, so then we would not have been attacked by other nations. We saw that unfortunately, because we lacked proper observance of Shabbos in the Midbar, we were attacked by Amalek. The Gemara says two consecutive Shabbosos that are strung together by the Jewish people would bring about the Geula, something that everybody knows, part and parcel of today's daf. And finally, we concluded with the practices of Rav Yossi. Yehichal kei, my portion should be with the people who eat three meals on Shabbos, and then an additional eight other statements of Rav Yossi regarding Yehichal kei, and then other practices of Rav Yossi, and so concludes our daf for today.